Okay, good morning. We are now on Shin Chaf Gimel. Shin Chaf Gimel. Okay, just to conclude from Dalet, so we read Dalet at the end yesterday. Just when it comes to mentioning, we had the case of if the price is on, if you're going to take something from the store from somebody on Shabbos and pay him after Shabbos, so you're not allowed to talk about how much it's going to cost you. The exact amount at the end. So we mentioned, it's just to clarify, the Shulchan Aruch says you certainly cannot mention anything about money. You cannot mention the amount. It's the Ramah who's Mekel and says if everyone knows what the price is, like it's listed or it's a simple standard price, everybody knows, then you're allowed to basically tell the guy, give me about, $5 worth, 10 shekels worth. And this way, the purpose is not to come up with an exact amount, how much you owe, it's just to tell him, like that's how, otherwise how else are you going to tell him? You can either tell him, fill up a cup, or this cup, and that's, he needs a way to know how much to fill up. So the Ramah is Mekel, and he says, you're allowed to just mention, in this type of case, you're allowed to just mention, give me about this amount of money's worth. So, just to clarify, that's a machloka between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, most of the poskim say one should not rely on this Ramah. They try, if someone does it, so they have who to be Solmachan, they didn't, you don't tell them it did anything wrong, but better not to mention an exact dollar amount, not on Shabbos. And then he also mentions the whole topic, I'm not going to get into detail, but basically he says, We learned a while back that there's a halacha of reading shtare hedyotas, not to read contracts, even reading magazines that people read all the time with ads is very questionable to say the least, if not us. So then whatever you're doing with the store, make sure Erev Shabbos you're not like writing down your name with an amount and then handing it over to him and he's using it on Shabbos. Because you can't read a piece of paper which talks about, which is related to money. So that's, you just have to basically, just remember or use some kind of other siman without a piece of paper that's written on. He mentions using some kind of seeds, whatever. But he does point out, sometimes gabayim use it on Shabbos. They put, clip marks or they use these little types of papers. So, Shailat Chacham, what's to do best? He says, try and avoid it. It's Chaf Seis Shamayim. It's for a mitzvah, so there's room to be Mekel. But, alright. So that just concludes Dalet. Hey. Hamevi kade yayin yimakom makom lo aviyem besal uvekupa kader chol el yaviyem lefanav o aktefo uvechayotze baze. Sheyeshane miderech chol afilo ein bashinoi kalut b'masa. So here's just, for the rest of the simanim, you're going to see some of the halachot are just somewhat random. But so here we're discussing carrying pitchers of wine, I don't know, bottles, barrels of wine from one place to another. So you're not supposed. So he says you can't take a whole bundle of them the way you normally do during the week. Now again, I don't know if this applies to us nowadays, the way we carry things, but don't take a whole bundle of them on your back. Because that's how people do it when they're in business and they're mishloach, whatever, they're transporting, delivering service from one place to another. Right? Could apply maybe with shopping carts, I don't know. So you can't do this on Shabbos because it looks like you're, it's either uvdin dechol or it looks like you're going to do business. You're going to sell it, to deliver it, whatever it is. So that's aser. Even if the way you're doing it makes it easy for you. You're supposed to but you were supposed to make some kind of a shinoi so that it's not obvious that it's so that it doesn't look like it looks nor during the week. Carry one at a time, or carry it in front of you, or do something that makes it more not normal, right? For the way that you carry it for business. Ve'im yav shelo lashanos, but if there's no other way, you have no other way to carry it. You're in a hurry. It's heavy. You have no choice. So then, kegon shezimen orchem harbe v'tzarich lamar lavar lifneim, like you invited a bunch of guests last minute, and you realize you have all these bottles of drink you have to bring to them. So then mutar. In other words, it's a din lachatchila. V'yesh omrim dilema et behiluch adif, and some say actually the opposite. It's better to go less make less trips, so you're walking less on Shabbos. On Shabbos, Chazal, I don't want to use the word arbitrary, but it seems a little bit here and there, and with a lot of Hilcha Shabbos, when it comes to Uvdin Dechol and Tircha, it's a little hard to define exactly, you know, what's considered too much effort and what's considered too much walking. But anyway, the idea here is, that's just a general thing. Okay, we'll see also in more halachot as well like that. V'yoter tov la'aviyam v'sal v'kupa v'pam achas v'aviyam ko achas v'achas b'fnei atzma. It's better to bring them all at once, even though that's the way you do during the week, than to do one at a time in front of you, so that you walk less. So two opposite approaches. Mestam and Yoshomrim. Okay. Let's go on. The Mishnah Berurah points out that the Ramah, you'll see later in Hilchas Yom Tov, it paskins like the Yesh Omrin. Okay. Again, it's a din lachatchila. Okay. Vav. Madichim kelim etzarach hayom. Okay, so here's washing dishes. Everyone's familiar with washing dishes on Shabbos. Some people like to do it, some people don't like to do it. Can you do it? If you have other dishes lying around. So here, you see, you're allowed to wash dishes in order to use for Shabbos. Kegon shenishar lo adayin se'uda lechol. Like you still have another se'uda to eat during the week. During the day. Like in other words, we're talking Friday night. Can you do dishes? Can you wash your dishes Friday night? You have two more meals ahead of you. Shabbos morning and Shalosh Shittos in the afternoon. Or even in the morning, you still have Shalosh Shittos to go. Can you do dishes? Can you wash them? Aval, so he says you're allowed to, no problem. Aval le'achar se'uda shlishit, but once Shalosh Shittos is over, ein medichin. So then, you're not allowed to wash dishes anymore. And this could apply to the... straight Shulchan Aruch says you can't use for Shalosh Shittos, right? You can wash dishes for Shalosh Shittos, that's not a problem. However, I just want to point out, it could be a problem if you know you never use dishes, Shalosh Shittos. You only use plastic, or you're not eating Shalosh Shittos. Whatever this is, you're leaving your house. So then, it's probably the same as right. So then we say, amen. So then, uchlei shtia. Now what about glasses, cups to drink with? Madichin kol hayom. You're allowed to, now obviously in those days they didn't have plastic, right? So, and disposables. Uchlei shtia madichin kol hayom. Now, what about drinking cups? That you can wash all day long, even until shkia or tzeis. Why? Shekol hayom or oil ishtia. People are always drinking. People are always, guests are drinking, you're drinking, kids are always drinking, everyone's taking cups. So there's certainly, it's by definition, it's always for today, not for afterwards.
Regarding crockery and cutlery, I was once told that you can wash up if you could make use of it, even if in practice you're not making use of it because you have it up. Is that right?
So that's a big discussion. Shepson mentioned regarding washing cutlery when you have other cutlery. So that's a big question mark. Happens to be, you're welcome to read the Mishnah Berurah yourself. When you read the words of the Mishnah Berurah, it says, even if you have 10 cups, however many cups you have, and you only want to use one, you're allowed to wash them all. Because we're not machalik and say, no, you have to choose your cup and you can't wash extra. Once you're allowed to wash, you're allowed to wash as much as you want, because you can, we don't limit you and we don't specify exactly which one you have to use. They're all usable. And therefore, you can use it, okay.
Now, if you know for sure you're not going to use it.
Right, so that's what I said before. So if you know for sure you're not going to use any of your dishes, so then you're not allowed to. Right, you're leaving, whatever it is, you're for sure not going to use them. The main issue is tircha, most right. Some say hachana, kind of intertwined. Chazal don't want you to do extra work that's necessary. It's not such hard work. I mean, for some people it is. But anyways, so for tircha is one reason, and hachana, preparing from one day to the next.
He says also, if you know you're going to need dishes after Shalosh Shittos, you can wash them.
If there's a scenario where you know you're going to be using your dishes, which is unusual, but that's, we're talking about stam, what's normal. If there's a scenario, you know you're going to be needing your dishes after Seudat Shlishit, like you have an early Shalash Shittis, and you're going to be serving dessert or another meal, whatever it is, then that's obviously, for sure, that's mutter.
It's disgusting. So then
that could be okay if it's ruining your Shabbos for the day. So some say that's definitely mutter, because you're not doing it to prepare for later. You're doing it so that you can sit in your kitchen. That's a discussion in the postgame. Also, let's say you have other sets of dishes, or you have lots of dishes, and you really don't need these. For sure, you're not going to need these that are dirty. So some say you should not wash. Many recommend. It's hard to say it's usher, especially. But anyway, many recommend if you do have many other dishes that you're happy to use, then you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be washing these dishes that are dirty, since you have so many others. So that's again, that's also a discussion in the postgame. Okay, but it's hard to call it usher. But the different postgame present it a little bit differently. I think we're okay. Zayin. Let's move on. Zayin. Mutar lahatbil kli chadash ataun tevila v'yesh osrim. So now, what happens if you have a brand new dish you want to use on Shabbos? So, but it didn't go to the mikveh yet, and it's chayiv in a mikveh. So some say. Oh, so the Shulchan Aruch questions. You're allowed to. You add a tova onto the mikveh, right? What's the problem? It could be a din derabanan of tikkun mana, because you're obviously the dish is completely finished, but since it's not usable for you, and that's why it's just it's obviously can't be more than a derabanan. So it has the din of, it looks like it's tikkun mana. You're making it usable, and therefore you can't. It's completely not usable, not for hot, not for cold, and that's why you can't dip it in the mikvah. Okay, well, so he holds it's not a problem. Sorry, that's the question: can you? Can you not? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins initially, you are allowed to dip it, and obviously with the bracha, and there's no problem, because be'etzim, he doesn't hold of this, the first opinion doesn't hold of tikkun mana and tefilas kelim, because you're not changing the kli itself, and therefore there's no problem. Physically, there's no difference. V'yesh osrim, but there's another opinion that says it's aser. So the Shulchan Aruch continues. So really, mikar din, you're allowed to. V'yirei shemayim yitzei et kulam. But it's best to be machmer. Number one, if you don't need to use that dish, just save it for the next day. Use a different one. But okay, you don't have other dishes, or whatever it is, you have mashagas, you need to use this dish. V'yiteina kli lein yehudi v'matana. So what's the best etza? Is give it to a non-Jew. Let him own it. V'matana, give it to him as a gift. V'yachzer, alright, some ask, how can you give gifts? So, there's an issue. There's a question mark if you're allowed to give gifts on Shabbos and Yantiv. So if it's something that's you're going to use that day, has the purpose of that day, such as food, you're going to eat it, or here you have a purpose to give it so that you can use it. You give it to the goy. So that everyone holds is mutter. Other gifts that are usable, but you don't need to use that day to eat. So then that's a machloket in the poskim. So, but here you want to eat, so you're gonna it's mater v'yachzer v'yishalenu mimenu, and so therefore, and then you just take it back to borrow. You don't own it back. So who owns it? The goy. The goy is not chayim tefilas kelim, and you can use it as long as it belongs to a non-Jew. There's only an iser to use non-tevila kelim is if it's owned by a Jew. V'ein sarich tevila, and so there doesn't need tevila anymore. No problem. Okay.
I'm surprised you didn't mention that you do the harama, that you draw water from the
mikvah. The Ramah is going to talk about that. Right. So the Ramah has the harama, which some say and probably doesn't apply nowadays anymore. Well, it depends what kind of mikvah you're using. Let's read the harama of the Ramah. V'im hu kli shra'u lema b'mayim, and that's a pitcher that it's normal to use for water. Right? So then, you can go down to the mikveh and get some water to drink or to use. Let's say it's for what you're going to use it, maybe to wash hands, if that works. That's a whole other shaila. But let's say you're going to use the water for drinking or whatever you want to use it for. So then you're allowed to go into this mikvah and pick it up and, you know, dip it in all the way. And then when you're dipping it in all the way, that's it's going to be in the mikvah. Now you can use it. Some say nowadays, well, it depends. If it's a mikvah, now I don't know who's going to drink from it nowadays. That's another question of that. Because no one drinks from these type from mikvahs. And then when you go to a proper mikvah kelim, if that's the mikvah you're using, so everyone knows why you're taking it to the mikvah. It says mikvah kelim right on top of what you're doing. So it's questionable if this really works nowadays. But anyways, so it depends. Anyways, when necessary, best to be yotze et kulam. If the Rambam applies, that's a possibility. Give it to a goy, or the Shulchan Aruch has the Iker Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Just to mention according to the interesting question, if you do take it to a mikvah, so by the Sephardic poskim, it wouldn't be a question, you do say a bracha. If you want to be machmer and you don't want it to be obvious, so then the question is over here, according to the Rama, some of the poskim, the Mishnah Berurah says, not to make a bracha. Because it'll be announcing that what you're doing is for Tzvilas Kelim. It's just that was the whole point of the Rama, so that it's not obvious. But so even if it would work, and you could do it, if it wouldn't be obvious, so some of that, it's a machloket by the Ashkenazi poskim. Some say you should say a bracha belachash. I think that's, many say you should say a belachash. Mishnah Berurah says just don't say the bracha at all. Okay. And just as an aside, this is not an issue. It's not, just as a klal, we often say safek brachos lahakel. Safek brachos lahakel is if you're afraid you're going to say a bracha levatala, so therefore, don't say the bracha. Right? That I'm not saying to say the bracha, not to say the bracha, but I am saying this wouldn't be an issue of safek bracha sahaka. Because here, everyone says there's no mikar din, you're supposed to say a bracha whenever you take kelim, and it certainly wouldn't be a bracha levatala. So you're not worried about it, the principle of safek bracha sahaka, because there's no bracha levatala issue here. It's just, we don't want it to be obvious for Hilcha Shabbos. That's all. And just b'kitzer, just to mention Hagalas Kalim. So, can you do Hagalas Kalim on Shabbos? So, this is a machlokas, a poskim. Some say you're allowed to, even according to the Yesh Osrim opinion. It's different because here, by kalim that are non-kosher, you're allowed to use it for cold, for cold foods. So, therefore, be'etzim the kli, you're not making a complete tikkun on it. It's still usable, and then it's just. Some say it's just like you're cleaning it in water. I don't know, but that's another svara. And okay, or they say it's not aser be'etzem. It's just because there's ta'arovit of iser in there, but it's not really that there's something wrong with the kli itself. Okay, yesh can make a chiluk either way. Okay, so let's go on. Chet, right? Chet. Kos sheshata bo eina yehudi. Mutar lahadicho ledivrei hakol. Now, let's say you have a cup of wine from a goy, so it has some wine in there that you can't drink. Stam yeinam, or nisach, or actually from yeinesach, whatever it is. So then you're allowed to rinse it off. Mutar lahadicho ledivrei hakol. Everyone says you can rinse it off because you're just getting rid of the schmutz, you're getting rid of the wine. It's like cleaning your dishes. It has no resemblance to Tevilas Kelim. Okay. Okay, let's go to Chet. Tet. Mutar l'sh... One second. Okay. You know, I just want to point out... just to mention, just something that the Mishnah Berurah brings up a concept. Ein levatel iser b'shabbos. You can't be a mevatel on Isra on Shabbos. Ein lecha tikkun gadol mizeh. There's no greater tikkun. Just to bring up the idea that it happens to be a machloket. If you can be mevatel on Isra when you're allowed to, that's more of a Yoredeya issue. But when you're allowed to, so it's a machlokas if you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, if it has the same idea.
Isn't Haggadah that?
What was that?
So that applies to Haggadah.
So it depends. Well, we mentioned, well, it's a machlokas by a galus kelim. It's a machlokas by a nevata. It's a little bit different. I mean, you could say it's the same. Could also be different because a galus kelim could still be used for cold.
Right. So even though you're also doing the bittul, but that might not be.
I don't think. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Maybe that's called. Yes. That's the whole question. If that's called tikkun mana by a galus kelim. Sucking, he mentioned, if you have a treif knife, now you want to stab it. He says you should also not stab it. Some say it is mutter as well. Mishnah Berurah points out you can't stab it in the ground 10 times. Okay. Tet. Mutar l'shav shef hakelim b'chol davar. Okay, so now you're allowed to clean your dishes with anything you want. Alright. Chutz. Even if it's, we're going to see, it's a whole discussion, but even if you're going to be using sand, not that you use sand, but the point is you can use whatever you want to clean your dishes. If you read the Gemara, it explains a little bit why it's more, that's the example, but anyways, you can use whatever you want to wash your dishes. Chutz mikli chesef, megardikan, shuhu shimre yayin, shnityabshu, v'nitkashu. However, the exception is, it's really polishing silver. Taking silver dishes, and you're taking, it's a gardekan, is the dregs or whatever, the stuff at the bottom of the barrels. In other words, you're using some kind of an abrasive. Using any kind of an abrasive, it doesn't even have to be so abrasive, if to start scrubbing that and rubbing that on silver is aser. So the Shulchan Aruch says why? Mipnei shehu memachik lekli kesef shehu rach. Because we know silver, especially if it's sterling, is soft. And therefore, to start being, to be rubbing out, with the, so the Shulchan Aruch says this is a machik. This is a form of smoothing down. When you read the Gemara, that's very possible, that's what it sounds like. The Rambam adds, he says actually, he doesn't mention memachik, he says it's tikkun kli. Because you're taking something that's tarnished, and now you're making it look like silver again. Right. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like the only issue is memachik. The Ravid says it's actually because of tircha. You're working too hard on Shabbos, you can eat without it being polished. Here. Let me read another couple lines from the Mishnah Berurah, and then we will get to polishing silver again. So the Mishnah Berurah says, first of all, he says the difference with other items for cleaning your kalim is we don't say there's for sure going to be smoothing or grinding down your kalim when you do it with other items. However, when it comes to an abrasive on silver, we assume it's a psik resha. So even if your purpose is not to start wearing away your silver, it's still, it's a psik resha, and therefore it's aser.
What is gartikan?
It's, gartikan is the dregs from the wine. But,
it's an abrasive?
So it's an abrasive. I think it's an abrasive. That's why it's a machik. Now, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Maharil. It's not mentioned in the Beis Yosef or the Ramah, or Darchim Moshe. And my humble opinion, it probably is not according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. They probably don't have this issue. And the Mishnah Berurah itself quotes, it's based on the Gemara, that you're allowed to use any substance, even sand, to clean your dishes. Now, the Maharil writes, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, Haya oser lishtof et eschuchit b'shibolet shua la'atziro. You're not allowed to take, I don't know, it's maybe oats, or some kind of a grain, you maybe soak it in water or not, I've never tried it, and you use this oats to, you rub it on your glass in order to, or maybe it means crystal, in order to shine it, to get it even cleaner. So he says you're not allowed to do that. And then the Magen Avraham writes, Tzarech Iyun, on this Maharil, And the Mishnah Berurah brings it and he writes, Tzarich ta'am lama, we need to know a reason why it should be aser. And he tries to give maybe an answer and he says, V'dochak. So, I've spoken to a couple different Rabbanim and some want to say the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah argue on the Maharil and don't hold of it at all. And some say, no, he's choshesh, he brings it and he's choshesh for it, even though it's difficult to understand. I'll just quote a couple of poskim. I don't know how common this is, but it does relate to polishing silver. But just a couple of poskim who mention this, the halacha, the prima gadim, the chai adam, who says it's because the problem is tircha. It seems to be the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa holds of it, and then it's also mentioned in Kafachayim. A couple major poskim who don't mention this at all, besides the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Aruch HaShulchan. Shara Tzion, who brings also the Chemed Moshe, who argues on it, and says it's not lahalacha. So just, that's an aside, or an intro too. What about polishing silver? So if you're using an abrasive, everyone holds that's going to be aser. Probably just because of memachik, but possibly because of tikkun kli or tircha. Again, it's a sugya. And what if you're going to be using only cloth?
Just an abrasive on the silver.
So I believe all polishing silver is abrasive. That's my understanding. I mean, again, when you have silver polishing, there's two standard ways to do it, either with a chemical or with an abrasive. And I think generally the silver that you buy is an abrasive. Again, you can look into it. But yeah, it's a very mild abrasive. And so most poskim would have no question to say it's aser. However, if you're just using a cloth only, you know, they sell polishing cloths that you don't really see the abrasive. So there, Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa writes, it's aser. I asked if Kornfeld about using any kind of polishing silver with any liquid or anything. He says, for sure, it's aser. Rabbi David said, for sure, it's mutter to use a cloth. So it's a question mark. And then what about dipping it into a liquid? They do sell on the market. It looks like water, maybe colored water, clear water. You just dip your silver in there, and the tarnish comes right off because it's like water. It's just a chemical that removes the outer layer that makes the tarnish. So I think Rav Kornfeld said it's aser. You can ask him again. But I know I spoke to Rav Pessin, Rabbi David, and Rabbi Viner, and they all said it's mutter lechatchila on Shabbos to dip it in, and then you can just rinse it with water and use a regular towel, and it's no problem. You get, yeah.
Why is that less of a tikkun kli than taking to the mikveh?
And just one last thing, it seems that everybody would say using steel wool and sandpaper on metal dishes is aser. Okay. But we'll see.